Good day, everyone. Please would you turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 12. We're going to read together from verse 1 to 8. Now, as you make your way there, I'd like you to think about this for a brief moment. What is the most expensive thing that you own? How long did it take you to save up enough money to buy that item? Or in some cases, you bought the item on credit, and over time you've had to pay that off, but now you own it. With that in mind, let's read our text together from verse 1. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As the keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would use your word, as you always do, to speak to us today. Inspire us from your word to follow you more passionately today than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I don't know if you're much of a fragrant person, but some people are. And when you walk into their homes, you might find a little bottle like this on a table or on a shelf somewhere with a few sticks inside and some fragrant oil or liquid in the bottle. And how this generally works is the sticks would draw some of the oil up and then release the fragrance into the air. And then as you would walk into the room, you would smell this fragrance. And right now, I can smell a bit of vanilla, and it's quite nice. But some people do this quite often. And obviously, the more expensive the oil, the liquid, the longer it would last, and the stronger the fragrance might be. Some people even use fragrant oils on their feet or on their hands, but in most cases, people use fragrant oils as perfume or cologne. However, in some cultures, even to this very day, fragrant oils are often used as embalming oils in preparing a loved one's body for burial. And as we can see in this text, that's exactly what Mary did. She took about a pint, which is about 500 mils of pure nard, which is very expensive and is usually imported from the mountains of India, and it's only used to anoint kings. And she poured this on Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, what I find interesting is the disciples' response to this. And when we read the same account in Matthew 26 and Mark 14, we will note that most of the disciples, if not all of them, were shocked when they observed this. In fact, Matthew and Mark both write that the disciples became so indignant among themselves that they started grumbling to one another, saying, "What a waste!" But in John's gospel, Judas actually verbalizes his disgust by stating the financial cost and the implication of this wasteful moment. In verse 5, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a whole year's wages. And some translations even state that this perfume was worth a small fortune. Now, at first glance, most would agree to this critical response from Judas and the disciples. But when we look at Christ's response to their critique, he is clearly not impressed. Because in the case of Judas, it was common knowledge that he was a thief and that he would often help himself to the disciples' money bag. And so his motive had nothing to do with the poor, but rather his own prosperity. And Jesus even states that we will always have the poor amongst us, and we'll always have opportunities to care for them. But the disciples in this case won't always have Jesus with them in person. Mary clearly understood this and how much time they had left with Jesus. And so Jesus then boldly tells them, leave her alone. He's clearly not happy with their response. He's possibly even disappointed that they had missed the beauty and the wonder behind this incredible act of generosity. And so he reveals to them the purpose behind this act of Mary. Jesus replies, it was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. And here you can only imagine the silence in the room, the confusion perhaps, because in their worldview, it just doesn't make any sense. Why would Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, who has just raised Lazarus from the dead, need to be anointed for his burial? Surely if he had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead, then surely he's defeated death in itself. Surely Jesus, our Messiah, is immortal. Surely he doesn't need any anointing oil. And besides, don't we only anoint the dead? So many questions going through their minds. But little did they know what was about to happen. Little did they know that Jesus was about to be arrested, tried, convicted, and put to death on the cross of Calvary right in front of their very eyes. Little did they know that salvation of their souls was imminent. Little did they know that Mary's anointing of Christ was perfectly timed. And here I would like us to just pause for a little and observe what's going on in the room. Martha, as usual, is running around ensuring that everyone's got something to eat and drink. And the disciples are probably having a fat chat to Lazarus, asking him so many questions about what possibly happened on the other side of death or how it felt like to be raised back to life again. But Mary isn't interested in any of that. Mary seems to know something that no one else does. And this isn't the first time this has happened. Do you remember the story in Luke's gospel where Jesus visits Mary and Martha? And once again, Martha is running around making sure that everybody's got something to eat. But Mary is found seated at the feet of Jesus, listening intently to every word he says. And so I would like to suggest that Mary discovered salvation at the very feet of Jesus. Where just like the other disciples and followers of Christ, she has seen all the miracles. She's heard all the teachings. And in so doing, she clearly made the decision that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah that they had all been waiting for. And so she realized from the very teachings of Christ and all the prophecies that had been fulfilled right in front of her very eyes, that if Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, then Jesus must be the Lamb of God that was going to take away the sins of the world. And this could only happen if Jesus was going to give his life as a ransom for many. And Mary knew that this ransom could only be paid for by his death. And then, prompted by God alone, she was aware that this was about to happen. In fact, I would argue that she has known about this moment for quite some time. And the reason I say this has to do with the fact that the disciples said that this perfume was worth a whole year's wages. You see, Mary has been listening to Jesus very intently for years. And when she is prompted by God, she knew exactly what she needed to do and how much it would cost her to do so. I would like to suggest that Mary worked an entire year and saved up all of her wages so that she can go and purchase this bottle of perfume that she needed in order to anoint Christ. Oh, friends, let's not just skim over this moment. Mary discovered salvation at the feet of Jesus, and her response to it was this: Lord, what can I do for you as a sign of my gratitude for what I'm about to receive in and through your Son? And when God responded to her request by saying, anoint my son for his burial, her response just blows me away. Isn't it just amazing when the eternal value of Jesus meets the love of those who follow him? See, Mary didn't just go down to the corner store and buy the cheapest anointing oil she could find. No. Her response was, I will give the Lord my best. My best is a bottle of nard. And yes, I would need to work an entire year in order to buy this so that I can do what God has called me to do. But when I look at my sins and when I look at my life and all the things that I have done to damage my relationship with God and others, and in some cases I've completely ruined it, when I look at that and what it cost Christ to reconcile and restore those relationships, of course my response, Mary, my response would be, I will give it all to you, no matter what the cost. Because even my nard, my gifts, my frankincense and myrrh, my gold, anything I give, even my life could not compare to the cost of the gift of God's grace that we have so freely received in and through Jesus Christ. And so here's the question for us today. How have you responded to the gift of salvation that we have received? Do we respond like Judas, where we simply cannot see the most obvious thing in the world, where the salvation of our souls is right in front of us, sitting in front of us, teaching us, guiding us, yet we still cannot see? We notice somebody else in the room who has indeed given their hearts and their lives to Christ, and they are willing to give the most expensive thing in their lives to the Lord as an act of worship. And we are completely appalled by it. Because why? Why would someone give so much and sacrifice everything for something I cannot see? Oh, Judas, look at what is available right in front of you right now. The salvation of your soul. Salvation has come to you. You don't have to go and find it. It's available to you right now. Question is, will you see it? But maybe in the story you relate to Martha, where you find yourself so busy with really legitimate things, like caring for your family, making sure that there's food on the table and something to drink, or you're growing your business and you're advancing your career, you're doing incredible things in the community and even the church where people are commending you for the great stuff that you're doing. But in the busyness of it all, we've missed the opportunity to spend time at the feet of Jesus. We've missed the opportunity and the beauty and the wonder of worshiping the Lord with all that we have, because we've been so focused on the things of the earth that we have lost sight of the King of Kings, the Messiah, the Savior. And when we take an honest look at ourselves, we've realized that our relationships with Christ have grown distant. Our fragrance offering to the Lord has run dry. So dry that we cannot remember the last time we had an intimate moment of worship with Him. We cannot remember the last teaching at the feet of Jesus. We cannot remember the last time we poured out our lives to Him in worship. If that's you today, friends, there's hope. Because even when we cannot see anymore, even when our relationship with Him has run dry and it's distant, God never is. He is in the room, waiting for you and I to come and sit at His feet and once again cry, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yes, Lord, I have wandered from Your ways. Yes, Lord, I have lost sight of who You are, so much so that I cannot smell the fragrance of Your love anymore. So please forgive me, Lord, and restore unto me the joy of Your salvation once again. And friends, even when we struggle to do this, even when we struggle to come and kneel before the feet of Jesus, let us just look at the Marys in our lives. Let us look at how they worship the Lord and how they are willing to do anything, give anything, sacrifice everything for the sake of Christ. Let Mary's act of worship inspire you. If you're a Judas, to consider Jesus as your Lord. If you're a Martha, may you be inspired to just stop for a brief moment and come and kneel at the feet of Jesus again. And allow Him to take hold of you. remind you that you are loved. Remind you that he has prepared a place for you in the Father's house. And so for those of us who find ourselves responding like Mary, where we have seen the glory of God in and through Christ, we have tasted of God's grace and mercy. We've even been convicted by his truth, where our hearts have been so transformed that we are willing to give it all to the Lord. For those of us who respond like Mary, we have a responsibility to worship like Mary did. Where at times, yes, we will be called to reach for the most expensive thing in our lives in order to express our heartfelt gratitude to Christ for the salvation that we've received. And in so doing, our acts of worship, our acts of sacrifice will glorify God and reveal Christ to others. Let us, friends, then respond like Mary did and worship Jesus Christ with no restraint. Give him all that we've got, because you and I have no idea who is in the room with us today. You and I have no idea who will read about our acts of worship and generosity in years to come and find themselves deeply moved where they too see Jesus in and through what we've done. So regardless of who you are and who you relate to in this parable today, know this. Two things will always remain. Salvation is available to all who believe. And to those who believe in Christ and what he has done, every single one of us are called to respond to God in worship out of gratitude for what we have received. And when, not if, when we are called by God to respond like Mary did, it is our prayer that we would do so, because you never know how far, how long, how deep your fragrant offering will go. It might just save another soul. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are fully aware of every person listening to this today. You know who we relate to completely. If it is the Judas in the room, O Lord, make yourself visible to us like never before. Help us see salvation right now. Help us see Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. But Lord, we ask that you would help us not to just see, but come and accept the gift of salvation that's available to us. And Lord, we also pray for the Marthas in the room today, for those who are so busy with life that we often forget to just stop and kneel at the feet of Jesus. Oh Lord, help us to do that today, right now, to just pause life for a moment and come and kneel at the feet of Jesus again. And hear you speak. Hear you remind us that we are loved and deeply cared for by you. And for those of us who relate to Mary, who know that, we know that we are loved and deeply cared for. We know that we are saved by grace. And we are so grateful for that gift of grace and mercy. Oh Lord, inspire us, lead us, and guide us to worship you every day, all day. And when you call us to worship you in extravagance, help us to do so with no restraint, so that those who don't know you, even those who are too busy to see you again, would be inspired by our sense of worship, that they'll be drawn to you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.